It's a good time. Everyone. Hello, everyone. I don't know why I started like that. Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to Good Time Gal. I think you just scared the shit out of everybody. Anyway, it's Good Time Gal. I'm your host, Caitlin Palufo. Thank you for tuning in. Today on the podcast, we have Chris Calogero, who is so funny. He's a great drunk. I've been drunk with him. It's very fun. He is the husband of Emily Winter, who was previously on the podcast. We make mention to her a few times, just so you're in the know. And yeah, he's a comedian. He's so funny. He's based out of New York. You can find him on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Cal. Real Chris Cal. At Real Chris Cal. But if you type in Chris Calogero, you should be able to find him. Calogero. Very fun. He's hilarious. You're going to love this one. He's great. So do that. Rate, review, subscribe to the pod, tell a friend, the whole shebang, and follow me and the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Caitlin Palufo and at Good Time Gal Pod. That would be super helpful. And, please enjoy. I have some dates coming up. I'm going to be in, DC, with Mateo Lane opening for him at the DC Draft House. So that will be fun. So that's next weekend. Make sure to come. And then, I'm doing a few dates in Asheville at the end of October. And then, we're going to the National Comedy Center to help tape, Sweet Boys, comedy album, Steve Rogers. So check that out. First weekend in November. All my dates are on my website. So please take a look on there at Caitlin Palufo, at Caitlin Palufo, CaitlinPalufo.com. But they're also on my Instagram. Who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Just come, don't come. Either way, I love you. You know, I'll always love you forever and always. And that's it. Thank you guys so much. And please enjoy Chris Calogero because you can. And you're already here, so you may as well. As if you weren't. Fuck. Okay. No, you're great. I'm eating a donut. Goodbye.
Okay.
Oh,
got it.
Oh, yeah. I like she that. Lets you know.
Your options are I understand or leave meeting.
Yeah. I didn't know that something popped up on the other side.
Oh, yeah. I saw it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's aggressive.
Great. It's a little aggressive, but I like that they give you options. That's nice.
and a lady's voice says it.
Mm-hmm.
A little Siri lady.
Oh, a little Syrian lady.
No, a little Siri, like a Syria or Alexa, you know?
Oh, okay. All right. I was like, well, how do you know she's Syrian?
We're going to get so into specific. Some stuff here.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited. Chris Calogero, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me. You have a big clock over your shoulder that makes me feel like time is passing.
Yeah. You can really, you'll see exactly how long. No, it's a broken clock. Just kidding.
Hey, it's right twice a day, right, baby?
Yeah, it sure is. And it was right 25 minutes ago.
Yep. Pretty good.
Yeah. I'm in Bristol, Tennessee right now doing shows.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is exciting. Yes. And, I'm in a house that is 100% haunted.
Oh,
like no question. Yeah.
You have to do my wife. You have to do creaking. Emily's podcast.
Well, I mean, nothing's happened, but you get the vibe. You know what I mean? You walk in and it's just like I'm not alone here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like that feeling, when, you know, when you walk in a room after two people have been arguing and you're like, what happened here? You know, like it's just that
yes.
energy that like you can feel it without anything happening.
Yes. It's like, oh, I've interrupted something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very strange. The bathroom's on the bottom floor. My room is on the top floor. And so middle of the night, I almost just ate shit down. And I was like, I think I felt a push, you know,
hate that.
It was weird. Yeah. And then I locked the door from where I was sleeping. But I was like, well, that just locks me inside.
Sure.
Yeah,
horror movie logic.
Anyway. Yeah. So anyway, I have one more night here and then I will be leaving.
Yeah.
And I will write a nice note thanking them for not killing me in my sleep. Yeah.
To the ghosts?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to like lure them out or anything? Are you like,
no, are you kidding?
I'm alone.
No, not a crazy white lady. I'm crazy, but and white and a lady, but not all together.
Yeah, okay? I don't know. Sometimes what like white people, they feel like they want they need to be in more danger than they currently are in the world. So they just they summon these things.
Yeah. Nope. Not me. Yeah. I don't think so. You stay where you are and I will stay right where I am.
Nice.
And we will have a nice time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's 100% how I feel about it. There is a, like, if you look, there is a hook. Like, look at that.
Oh my.
What the fuck
God,
is that?
Dude.
All right. It's like a, it's a meat hook.
That's a Texas chainsaw ass hook.
Oh God.
Well, yeah, it was so nice knowing you.
Yeah, yeah, I'll see you on the other side. Come visit me in Bristol. Yeah. Anyway, so I feel good.
Great.
But happy to be talking to a friendly face. Good Lord. Chris, let's get to it.
Yeah, let's do it.
You're a Jersey boy, yeah?
Yeah, I was born in Jersey City. And then my parents moved us to the suburbs when I was like 10.
Oh.
But yeah.
That's sweet.
And I actually lived in, like, when I started comedy, I lived in Hoboken. And I didn't like move to Brooklyn until 2015.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Cause you seem so, well, I guess it's been what, 8 years or
damn.
No,
no, that was like last
year.
That was like last year.
Yeah. Oh boy. My brain is not working. Good God. I know you're a Jersey boy because of your wedding.
Right.
I went to your wedding and boy, did you guys just scream Springsteen the whole night. And it was very fun. And I was like, why are they so obsessed with Springsteen? They're like, Jersey.
Yeah, that's like nine. Right? Yeah, it was like 50% Jersey, like even my friends and stuff. Yeah. And also, I'm sure you heard a lot of loud Italians talking. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, ooh, I'm home.
You know? Screaming.
It felt good.
Screaming at each other. Polite yeah. conversation, but at the top of your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Agreeing with each other and just shouting.
Yeah.
It's very fun. But Jersey, now I met your parents. Are your parents drinkers?
Yes. But
yes. Okay.
They're like, they're not like, I feel like it's weird to say like they're drinkers, but like, yeah, they like a cocktail. They like their wine. I think my mom has not been drinking for a little bit through the pandemic because mm-hmm. she's just like not been feeling great. And mm-hmm. I think just like some anxiety and stuff like that. But yeah, they are like, I always remember them drinking, but never like, I remember them drinking. yeah. But it was always like a social function.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Social drinkers, fun, but never, you've never seen your parents drunk?
No, I've seen them drunk, but not like to the point where I like, you know, like sticking my head through like the banisters of the stairs and being like, again, you know? But
yeah.
like they, I've seen them drunk, but never like I never felt ever in my life that it was like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mom fell off a stool at a restaurant once drinking.
Really?
Yeah. I think she had like a couple martinis and boom, went off. So I come from good drinking stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you start drinking?
So like I started drinking in like earnest, like in college. I got drunk a few times in high school, but mm-hmm. the one time I think the first time I ever got drunk, somebody just handed me like a glass of vodka and was like, just drink it all. And I was like, sure. Yeah. You don't know what any of these things do. Mm-hmm. So I did it. And I was like, whoa, I was like movie drunk, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't really start going until college.
Where did you go to college?
University of Scranton. Pennsylvania, baby.
That's real?
That's yeah, you goddamn right. It's real. I got a pennant. I got a degree in everything. How dare you? I'm quitting this meeting.
Did Michael Scott speak at your graduation?
I was
I'm so sorry.
Pre-Michael Scott. I was there before it was cool. Before all the kids and the Netflixes.
The kids and the Netflixes?
Yeah.
Wow, you sound 85.
I brought
oh my God.
I brought a 13-inch combo TV VCR to college. That's how old I am.
You must have been the coolest guy in the quad.
I brought so many tapes.
I forgot about those. I forgot that they made those. But you and I are like similar. How old are you?
39.
You don't have to say.
No, I'm 39.
39.
Yeah.
Okay. You look great.
Thank you.
You look great. and you are significantly older than me. Thank you.
Yes, I am. Can you hold on 1 second? My door just rang.
Your door just rang. Okay. Yeah, sure. I will kill time. I will wait here and kill time, or I'll edit it out. That's probably what I'll do. But this house is definitely haunted and I hate it. I don't hate it. It's fine. But it is a spooky house. I really don't like a spooky house.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just I was talking to the ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're doing okay. There's a picnic basket up there.
I bet.
I just realized. Yeah. And a few drinking containers, you know.
Drinking jugs, containers. Jugs.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then they're hidden amongst branches.
Okay.
Fucking nightmarish.
You're in a murder house.
Anyway. I am in a murder house.
I'm much older than you and much less successful. So deal with that, America.
Oh, well, that's all subjective. I would say Twitter would disagree. Okay, buddy.
Yeah, that's the best place to be judged for things is Twitter. Everybody knows.
You're killing it, man. Your characters are so funny.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I will Venmo you your compliment money after this is done. Thank you very much.
No, I should Venmo you. You're doing this podcast while I'm in a murder house. Basically, it's a house call is what you're doing.
Yeah.
So thank you. But we were talking about college.
Yes, college.
And so you really started getting into it in college.
Oh, yeah. College was like, I like went bananas. Like I will send you a photo of me after this. I have to find it of like how big I was a house. Like I was humongous. I probably weighed like close to 70 pounds more than I weigh right now.
Really?
Yeah, I was huge. And because I just like went hard and I always had this thing where I was so desperate to fit in and and then like I would go hard to try and fit in and then like my grades would just like plummet because I ended up just not caring. I cared about the social aspect so much more than the other aspect. And my wife Emily is always like, I'm like, I was a bad student. Like I was a really, I think like by the end of college, like I went under like a 3 GPA and because like my senior year GPA was like abysmal and she's like baffled by it, but
yeah well she's like the ultimate student. She's still a student.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? She still takes notes at like comedy clubs. Like she's just sitting there. Her work ethic is insane.
it's so admirable and inspirational and it's helped me so much. And also sometimes I'm like, hey, stop, you're making me feel bad. Like,
let me catch up.
Yes,
come on.
Please.
Yeah. And we are, of course, talking about Emily Winter. She's done this podcast.
Yes.
She had a fun time in college, too. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, okay? No.
She told me some stories. Ooh.
I know. We actually just visited her college town, Madison, Wisconsin. And we were the only, her friends all like bailed at like 10 p.m. like both nights that we were there. And I was like, a Matthew McConaughey character. I was like, what's up? Why are we bailing? There's more stuff to do, man. Like, I was like, what is up with your friends? They want to go home in a reasonable hour and get a good night's sleep and not be blaringly hungover every day that we're here.
Idiots.
Like, what are we doing here? But we drank so hard on a Sunday night that we missed our flight on Monday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was my first ever missed flight.
Oh, that one hurts your heart. You know, the first one always stings.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like you drink so much throughout your whole life and you're just like, but I'm not missing flights drunk. You know, yeah. I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
And then you miss a flight and you're like, maybe I have a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Yeah, that certainly is true. There is something about it at this point where you're just like, a whole plane took off without me. Like I was supposed to be on that plane. Like that's nuts.
That's so funny. I remember the first and only time I missed my flight, my mom was like getting on me about drinking and I was like, I'm fine. And then I didn't drink the night before and I got overslept and I got dropped off at the wrong terminal. And so I had to like, so I missed it barely. And I was like, she's going to think I was drunk.
I
wasn't drunk.
I think it says a lot though about mine and Emily's, base of friends that almost everybody that we told that to were like, yeah, it happens. Don't worry about it. Like, they were just like, everybody was so casual. They were like, nah, no, like, oh my God. Like, not, oh my God, that was crazy. They were just like, yep, I'll see you later. Good. Shit happens. What do you, like, Courtney McGinnis was like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that'll happen. Yep. Yeah, Courtney is a missed flight. That's just what she is. She's a missed flight.
A human missed flight. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, great, I'll just go to the bar. Perfect.
Right. But yeah, I drank so much in college, and that was like the most like I've ever, obviously I think that should be where you peak in your drinking years. And you're just not for everybody. And you're disgusting years too. But disgusting drinking. Like, we would have handle races. So like,
oh no.
Yeah, you have teams of four, and you try to finish a handle of vodka first or whatever handle of alcohol you choose. And we like perfected this mix where it was like just Gatorade powder and vodka and like water. And we would just like mix up like these like drinks that were like 50-60% alcohol, and like, you know, and just throw them down, and we finished like a handle of vodka in like 18 minutes. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, that was a hell of a weekend.
Damn. You know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But at least it was Gatorade, so you're getting your electrolytes. Yeah, so that's nice.
We were draining and refilling at the same time, you know?
Yeah. You were smart about it. Yeah. That's good.
Right. It's like,
yes, Scranton knows what's up.
Right. It's like, you know, you ever like prepare a meal for yourself, and then you're like, oh no, I have to go to the bathroom and I have to take a dump. And you're like, man, I'm doing both ends. I'm coming in and going out. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's not my experience, but yeah, no.
Yeah. I mean, I don't do them at the same time, but it's pretty close. I hate it.
Chris, I love you. Oh my God. That made my day.
Sorry about that. Please edit that out.
Good. Let me just go ahead. Take a sip of my coffee here. Oh, but so what does drunk Chris look like in college? What were you like? Were you like Frank the Tank? Get a little Frank the Tank vibe.
Yeah. I think I was like, I was never like an angry drunk, or like I would every now and again get that little melancholy drunk where you're like, oh, what am I doing? I suck. Everything sucks. But like, I was always like very happy and always like game. I was like game for anything. Like, I was just like, I beer bonged a pina colada once. Like, I would do like anything. I would just
beer bonged a pina colada.
Yeah. And I did a rum and coke, and I almost like choked on the ice that was in there still. That was tough.
I love that you didn't think to take out the ice.
So, well, I wasn't in charge of, somebody else just dumped it in there.
Oh my God.
You know?
Never mind that it's effervescent.
I know. It was a nightmare. I think every weekend that my stomach didn't just explode all over my room was like a win. But always very happy. Always jumping around, singing, dancing. Mm. That was usually how I was.
Was the pina colada frozen?
It was like, you know, when it's just starting to break up and kind of melt. Oh, like it's been sitting around for a little while. Dude, we were so gross. I don't know. In college, did you have that thing where you like, if you're at places or like you woke up like at some fucking house or in your house, like the kitchen floor would just be like a sticky, like a glue trap. Like, that's how our floor always like constantly was. It was like a glue trap on the bottom, and then like an aroma of George Foreman grill in the air, which was like such a distinct gross smell.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know what? We had a George Foreman grill, the guys that I stayed with, and yeah, for sure. They, it always had that aroma. It's a very distinct aroma.
It is. It is. It's don't clean it once. And it's and we didn't clean it. Like, it was just disgusting. Like a fucking, like you put that goopy guy from Candyland on there and smashed him down or something.
Did you celebrate your 21st birthday? What'd you do?
No. So I, here's the thing. My 21st birthday, I'm a Cancer. I'm a July baby. So like just wasn't in school. So like not a thing that I got to do in school. Like, you know, even in like any time in school, I was always like, you know, at the end of the year, they're just like, and also you had a birthday, you had a birthday. Like they just give out the summer birthdays because they're just like, you're not going to be here. So yeah, I didn't really have like a crazy 21st birthday, surprisingly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Well, it seems like everything else was a little nuts. So
yeah, every day, every weekend was a 21st birthday kind of.
Yeah, you've been celebrating for years.
Yeah. I did get when I was 21 though, I did get banned from Holy Cross campus we visited.
What?
Yeah.
So not even your campus.
Not my campus. Another camp? No.
What happened?
So it was the same weekend that we did that handle race thing, and my friend Kim had come up from Penn State, and we did that, and then we drove up to Holy Cross to see like our other best friend from high school, Pat. And again, we got there, and it's even like it's kind of disconcerting, even like to be that young, and we were like drinking harder than like everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. We were, and his friends were like in this like nice like campus provided. Off, you know, that campus off campus apartment thing, and it was so nice, and we're like we gotta go buy alcohol now, and so we like go and buy all this alcohol, and then everybody's just kind of coming over and watching a movie and being kind of casual, and we're like we're going down to the vending machine, we're buying mixers, does anybody want anything, and we're just like mixing, and everybody's kind of like, oh my god, like who are these guys, like and because we don't really even know them, we just like know one guy, so we're like the friends of, you know, this guy, so they don't really know us, and we're like tanked by like 8 o'clock, like just like toast.
Yeah.
So we go over to this like other dorm-ish area where there's like a band playing in like the common area or whatever, and Andrew is like not he's like my best friend from high school. He's not like a social animal. Like he likes hanging out and stuff and drinking, but like he's not like throw yourself into a situation and make friends kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so he's like smoking a cigarette outside, and I'm just like going crazy for this band. Like these like 19-year-olds. I'm like going nuts. I'm jumping around, getting on chairs. And so because we're in this like common area thing, there's like these little windows to the outside. And so I just go over and I just punch a window. And yeah, fucking nuts, right? It's a miracle I still drink. I punch this window, and then I'm just like, oh wow, that hurt. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got cut, like obviously, but I'm drunk, and you get hurt when you're drunk, and you're just like casually like, oh, my foot fell off. Oh. And
I'm numb.
Yeah.
Who needs a foot?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Who needs a spine? Roll me. Yeah. So I go and I'm like, I exit this common area and I'm in a dorm, like a hallway, and my hand is gushing blood. Like, and I'm shaking my hand because, you know, shaking my hand because it hurts. I'm just like, ah, damn, goddamn. And blood is fucking going all over the dorm. It's just like shooting all over the walls, right? And so then I go into the bathroom and I run it under cold water, and the sink is just like filling with blood, just like filling up with blood, because it's just like it won't stop here, and now I'm just like shooting it out in the sink. And I thought I was being quiet, but I was not. And like people came out and like into the bathroom were like, dude, are you all right? I was like, I'll cut my hand, it's all right. And they like wrapped it in a t-shirt and like fucking did it. And then all of a sudden, like a cop, I go out in the hallway and there's like a campus security guy there, and he's like, what are you, like, what is this? And I was like, oh, I'm visiting my friend Pat Wilson, I cut my hand up. And he's like Pat Wilson, he's like, who is Pat Wilson? Because what I didn't know is that Andrew had been outside smoking a cigarette and like being weird, and this guy like interrogated him too, and he's like, I'm staying with Pat Wilson. So when I said it, he's like, who the fuck is Pat Wilson, like who is that? So then they put me in an ambulance. I had to ride in an ambulance. I had to go to the hospital. I get 6 stitches in my hand and had Percocet. And just like when the campus guy like sent me there, he's like, never come. You're not allowed to come back to this campus. And I was like, okay, but like all my shit is in an apartment here. So we like came back like 6 a.m. and woke up my friend, and he's like, Jesus Christ. And we didn't really have cell phones either. So we didn't know what to do. And he let us in. We slept a little bit, and he's like, yeah, you guys probably should go now. So we left. Yeah. And that's how I got banned from Holy Cross campus.
You know what? Who needs Holy Cross campus?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a bunch of squares.
They're lost.
Yeah. What are they? They didn't help you punch that window? Fuck them.
Nope. They sure had to fix it, though.
They did?
I mean, I get they had to fix a window, I'm sure. I punched a window out.
Oh, my God. I can't believe no adults were there to see you do that.
No, no. Only the campus security guy. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it was quite a thing. And then I just I had my arm in it was like casted up like to my elbow.
Really?
Yeah, because they kept them like they had the stitches and they just like kept it straight. They kept them straight. I actually had to go visit a hand surgeon just in case I like ripped a tendon, but it was fine. But yeah, so I just like came back to my school and was like, they were like, my roommates were like, what the fuck happened? And I was like, I got Percocet. I'm going to my room and I'm ordering pizza. Leave me alone.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Now, did you, when you graduated, did you stay in Scranton or did you go back to Jersey?
No, I went back to Jersey, and worked in a bank and lived with my parents. Yeah. I didn't know. Cause again, I was like just drinking so much and partying and like, I was just in that mode of like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I want to do. And then all of a sudden, like as the 4 years go by, it was like, people are, oh, I'm getting a job out of college. I'm moving here. I'm doing, and I was like, what? I was like, we were supposed to be like working on this. And
yeah,
I just like wasn't. I wasn't working on anything other than hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
So like I just lived with my parents for a bunch of years.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I get that. I when I finished college, I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'll just keep it going and I'll go to grad school.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I did that. And then that was actually nice in terms of like real world on training wheels, you know.
Right, right.
Because that got me to New York and that makes you grow up real fast.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But you still had the comfort of being like, well, I have a schedule. I know where I need to be. And
right.
I have, you know, friends that I can make that are just right here.
Right, you don't have to make your own routine yet.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was a nice transition. Expensive, but nice.
Did you,
yeah.
When you like, I guess, I don't know if in grad school, but maybe post-grad school or maybe either or, like, did you try to keep the party going?
Oh yeah. Grad school. I was, I found the party people.
Yeah.
You know, I found the ones who were like, let's go to a bar and talk about art, you know, but really we were just drinking $1 PBRs and just fucking shit talking everybody.
Yeah
her art sucks and she's a tramp. Like
it's beautiful. No better way to bond.
Yeah, exactly. And so I found those people. For a brief stint I tried to learn to smoke cigarettes. I was like, you can do it, be like these cool kids, but it just didn't stick, and thank God.
Yeah, it's funny though, because like I feel like you would be a smoker.
Yeah I tried on the hat, because everybody would go outside to smoke and I would be stuck inside watching the bags.
Yes, I was that person too.
And I was like, no, I want to go outside with you. So I'll smoke. And every time I smoked a cigarette, my friend Ryan was just like, what is happening? You're just like kissing it. Like you're wasting one of my cigarettes.
You're like,
and you don't know what you're doing.
He's like, it's halfway down your throat. What are you doing?
Yeah. I'm like, just deep throating this cigarette. He's just like, I hate this. You're assaulting my cigarette. Please stop.
Do you lick the whole thing before you started or what?
Yeah. I have it upside down. Just like, Caitlin, you're going to kill yourself. And I'm like, here's the helping. But always just hammered. I drank a lot in art school, but it was also very encouraged. There weren't a lot of people who were artists, you know, they were all artists. So they were just like,
and you were in New
York? Bohemian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was in New York. I was at Pratt.
Right.
And So it was just the most fun, because in college I had a group of friends who were very rowdy drinkers. But by the time I was leaving, they were kind of growing out of it.
Right.
And I was like, well, I'm ready to keep this going. So when I went to New York, it was just, oh, it was a ball. Oh, I had so much fun.
I mean, also, this city is like such a drinking city.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's
so many other cities. Like, I expect them to have like the same drinking culture because I just mm-hmm. am here. But like, they just, nobody can really kind of compete with it. And, especially when I found out that like other cities' bars closed at 2 a.m., I was like, you guys are losing out on 2 hours of partying? Like,
yes.
Why? That's cash money, so, baby.
Seriously. And when I come to some of these smaller towns, like right now I'm in Bristol, and the last show started at 9:30. So I'm done at 11, right?
Yeah.
And 11:30 after everything. And I'm literally like, well, is there anything that's open till midnight?
Yeah.
Because I'm hungry and I would like a PBR. Like,
yeah.
And there was one place in this town that is open past or at midnight until midnight. And I went there, I housed some wings and then had a PBR. And they were like, well, we're literally closed. We don't stay open for anybody. We're closed at midnight. So you got to get the fuck out, lady. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my
God.
I'm
like just shoving tater tots in my mouth. Like, I'll see you later.
They just give you some wax paper and dump them on. And you're like, go eat them on the street, you animal.
Pretty much. Yeah, it was not far off. But, so, okay, in Jersey, are you still drinking in Jersey with the family?
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, my friend Andrew, who went up to, got banned from Holy Cross with me, we went to high school together, so he came back too, and we were both kind of like little lost dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But drunk dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, like, France. We were, like, drinking my parents' basement and his, you know, parents' place, his mom's place, and then... There's the town I went to high school in is called Mendham, and there's Morristown, New Jersey, is like right next to it, which is like mm-hmm. the most city-ish place you're gonna get out there.
Yeah.
And so we would go out there and drink and just try to figure out ways to get home, and like cabs, you know, again mm-hmm. before everything was everywhere and Uber,
yeah.
And like a cab could just be like, I don't know, $50, you know, like, and what were you gonna do? You just didn't. Especially because they had to drive you out to the sticks to get home. So we would like take cabs home. We would crash with people. We would, you know, or just like crash in our basement or whatever. So yeah, we were definitely still keeping it going, but very at that point, like lost in terms of like mm-hmm. what the hell the rest of our lives were going to look like.
Yeah.
So that was tough.
Yeah. Was there any like memorable jaunts from that time? Like, I always find it's very funny when you're now drinking and then you have to come home to your parents and you're just like, this is a shock.
Yeah. Like, I think there was one funny time where like I had like a bunch of people stay in my basement and mm-hmm. and my mom just like had like a spread of food, like bagels and fruit and sausage.
Beautiful
and,
Italian mom.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just like mm-hmm. was just like, just have your friends eat all this. And I was like, okay, cool. So there was never like any incident from my parents. Like, again, like I was probably drinking too much, but there wasn't any incident where I was like, Mom, Dad, and like I pee on the bed or something.
Yeah.
So that was good. I honestly, like, right before I moved out, so I got a job at the job that allowed me to move out was I worked in the production office of Law and Order SVU.
And, ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So it was like a combination of staying at home and paying no rent. And like, if you work on a production, you usually will get like breakfast and lunch like comped and paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So I was spending like no money on food, no money on rent. So I was just like stockpiled every dollar that I had and was able to move out. But we would, SVU shot in North Bergen, New Jersey. It used to, it doesn't anymore. But, and that's like right across the river from New York. So, and it's right by Hoboken. And we had friends in Hoboken. So we would go drinking in Hoboken a lot after like SVU. Mm-hmm. And Andrew worked there with me too. And so we would drive over to Hoboken. My friend lived there, and we would just crash with him and drink and eat breakfast in the morning. But there was one time where we were like, it was like a Friday night, and I was like, my friend Max is like in Hoboken. We always can stay with him, but we couldn't get in touch with him. And I was like, let's just go drink and we'll figure out if he's there. and he was not there. So we drank in New York. We came back to Hoboken. It was like middle of summer, super hot. I was like, I don't know. We're trashed. And I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, I don't know where we're going to stay. I don't know what we're going to do. So we like went to my car and just passed out in my car. And mm-hmm. I put the key in to like have the air on. And the battery died in the morning, of course. And so we use AAA. They do the battery. We're like still kind of drunk, hungover. And so we were like, at SVU, our job was to lock up the office, and we have the code, the security code and everything. So we mm-hmm. went to the office on Saturday morning. Nobody's there. We put in the code, and we slept in the production offices of SVU for like 3 or 4 hours.
That's great.
And then it was awesome. We slept on like the couches there. And then because the production office has like a little kitchen that's supposed to be stocked for everybody, we just had like bowls of cereal and then locked up and went out. And I was like, I guess they can see like who closes this up or not, like the code when the code goes in. But I was like, it was worth it, man. That was always the problem, like living at home and doing that stuff, was like, where am I going to crash?
Yeah.
Like if you go out, it's like such this weird problem you have.
You were never trying to get ladies?
Yeah. But I was like, where am I going to crash? Because I got nothing here. I'm too drunk.
Yeah.
I was so bad at dating, too. So.
Yeah. I mean, you're so charming now. That seems hard to believe.
I fixed a lot about myself.
Yeah.
Based on what I'm telling you, like if it, like there's a world where I still like to party, obviously. But like mm-hmm. there's a world where like that partying never ends. And like the timeline like splits off into that area where I probably still maybe living at home, like single and frustrated and probably incel-ish or whatever. and like just 400 pounds playing video games. Mm-hmm. Like there's a world where there's a multiverse Chris Caligiuro that exists like that.
Oh, well, I'm so glad it doesn't.
Yeah, me too. I think about drinking and dating I just think about like drinking and dating like 10, 15 years ago, and mm-hmm. I'm horrified at myself. Horrified.
Well, look at you now. Look at all these books behind you. Yeah. Ah!
I read them all yesterday. They're pretty good.
Good for you. I mean, I haven't read a single book in years. I listen to them on tape.
Oh, yeah. You get this. 7 of them. They come in like a little plastic hard shell container and pop them in the car.
Oh, wow. You're old. Oh, my God. Incredible. Yeah. Audible. That's what I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're audible. You can hear them. Sorry.
Oh, Chris.
Sorry.
No, that was wonderful.
Sorry.
You get a clap. I liked it. That was very fun.
I'm sad for everybody who's ever paid me to do comedy.
Nope. I'd pay you twice. Good guy. That was great. So you get the job at SVU and then you move to Hoboken?
And I moved to Hoboken. Yes. And then I start start comedy too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And then here you are. Oh, beautiful.
Right.
Yeah. And when did the working on yourself start?
I mean, honestly, it was tough. Like, it's hard to pinpoint because it just like becomes like a natural, like it's just like small things where you're just like, oh, I shouldn't be this way. I should work on the fact that I have self-loathing. I should work on the fact that I have like self-esteem issues. I should work. And like, I guess I think like 2010-ish, 2011-ish, like I came out of a dumb relationship that like it was just bad. And comedy had like taken a back seat to it, even though it was like so early on in comedy. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of was like, all right, like get your comedy stuff together, get your shit together, like push all this away and start like being your better self. And and then I started like having better times, having better dates, like having a better like life overall, like quality of life mm-hmm. kinda, and started becoming, I think, like a better version of myself that I continue to work on, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
But partying never stops.
No. You just find better people to do it with.
Right. And then I met Emily. I met my now wife. And yeah, it's so funny. Like being like married now, it's like I'm like great at relationships. I'm like, I know everything.
I believe it.
I know everything. Yeah. But like, I don't. I just, you know, we work together and we work on ourselves together. But we also go around the corner to the bar and we drink there and hung out with our friends till like 4 a.m. But there's no like, the cool thing is there's no like, I think sometimes when you're single, you're just like, oh, I gotta go out, right? I have to go out. But that urge is like not there anymore, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. I'm dating Steven Rogers, yes. Sweet boy. And
a sweet boy, a sweet funny
it's
boy.
Like, he's a sweet boy. So every Sunday we go to this bar, not every Sunday, but there's a bar in our neighborhood that we love and it's open late night. So we go there, we sit and we have like a bunch of cocktails and eat food, like eat bad food. Yeah. And then we go home and we're like, oh, isn't it great that we weren't trying to like find pussy or something like that, or trying to get dick.
Yeah.
It's just like, we're just talking about, oh, you just got back from the road. Me too. Blah, blah, blah. Just talking and like, oh, it's great.
I love
so much better.
Sometimes it's just right on the floor. You know, you can't help but find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's the best. And like having a regular bar and people, you know, and like a neighborhood thing. And also, I guess, the urge is that thing that unknowable, like that's why it was also like a reason why I was bad at relationships, is like you just have that like, why can't I just not feel this for a second?
Yeah.
Like, I just, because you're like, well, what do I want? Do I want to just hook up with somebody, or am I looking for a relationship at 3 o'clock in the morning? Like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, where am I and what am I doing? But yeah, I love that regular thing. Emily and I, we haven't done it in a minute, but we sometimes have a thing called ideas table. And we just go to our regular bar and Emily gets like a martini and I'll get like a beer or like a bourbon. And it's like, what ideas do you have for anything going on right now? Like show ideas, pilot ideas, script ideas. And then we just like help each other work on the bare bones of the idea.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so good. God damn it, Emily. I want her to be my wife.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, we can work something out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You are good at relationships. Let's make this happen. Yeah. It's so funny. We went to the bar that we went to, you know, that we always go to on Sundays. And I think this is the first time it ever happened to Steve, where a bartender came up and was like, oh, so you want the cider and you'll have the Negroni? And I was like, yes, please. You know? And he was like, that made me feel so good. No, he knew. He remembered us. Oh, my God. And I was like, oh, my God, I drink way more than you do.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first time a bartender has remembered you. Oh, shit. Okay.
Dude, I got invited to my bartender's wedding. Like,
I love that.
That's how much I know bartenders. Like,
yeah.
I went to a wedding.
That's another level.
In Pittsburgh. For a bartender, an old bartender of mine.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's beautiful. You won. You beat drinking.
Emily, when we first started dating, I don't know. I think I'm just like on most bartenders like wavelengths. She's like, bartenders never remember me. And I I don't know. I just speak the language. I never was a bartender. Mm-hmm. But when I was like broke, I started going to this place in Hoboken called the Dubliner, which is gone. But it was like my first regular bar.
Uh-huh.
And that's where like the person was whose wedding I got invited to. But I was like, all right, well, when you're broke and you want a drink, you gotta charm yourself into the bar, be a good patron, spend your money like when you first, the first bunch of times you go in there and over tip, and then just be cool and you can get a bunch of free drinks, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. That's like how I drank as a broke person. I like spent the money early on and they would just like always like do buybacks and comps and oh, I poured an extra shot. Here you go.
Yeah.
So I just have them like know how to talk to bartenders.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the trick, is always over tip at first.
Wife just got home. This guy, when I started dating him, I was like, oh, he's the guy that flirts with the bartender. Oh my God, I'm spitting. He's the guy that flirts with the bartender, and I'm like, gotta dump him. This is dangerous. But now I see it was all because he was broke. Okay.
And you got some free drinks out of it.
I've gotten free drinks.
I don't know who,
Hi,
I don't know who that person was. It just came in here.
My crazy lady.
Yeah, we have an open door policy at our apartment.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is weird when, like, a man flirting, quote unquote, flirting with the bartender is terrifying. But as a fellow drunk, I understand what you're doing, and I do it too. Hey, yeah. Oh, is this okay? I don't want to cause any issues. Yeah, you know, you're just being overly friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And like, there's so many people that go into bars who are just burdens. Mm-hmm. They are just like a burden, and like they even like people who like are regulars, they're just like they're because there's the bad regular who thinks they can do. Like, whatever they want. And you're like, you don't work here. Like, just take your drinks and be cool. Like, just be cool about it. Don't, like, flag them. Hey, I need a drink right now. Like, just don't. That's not what you do.
Mm-hmm. Patience. They'll see your empty glass. Okay? They will see it, and it's going to be okay.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the bartender whose wedding I went to, Mel, she was, like, the best bartender. And there was a bad regular who was always there. And, I was there all the time. And this great moment. Where we were upstairs, like Dubliner had three floors. So the first floor was like more low key, and the second floor was kind of like party floor, and then they had like a roof deck. And so, like, I was on the party floor in the corner because Mel was up there in the corner of the bar, and this bad regular was there. And these two girls, like, he was like flirting with them, and I was just like, not into whatever their game was or his game. I was just drinking and hanging out, and he's just like flirting, and he's like, oh, I'll get you this drink. I'll get you that drink. And then they like close their tab out because they're just like, we're going to just use this guy's money to get all our drinks. Mm-hmm. And he's also like trying to flash his stuff and like call Mel, like, oh, Mel. And it's like busy up there because it's like the party floor. He's Mel, call. And she's like getting pissed. And so finally she just like, she gives him his tab at the end, and she charged him for everything. And he had been like a regular for a long time. She charged him for every, and he was like, what is this? She's like, you fuck with me all night, you're trying to impress these girls, now you're paying for everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh, my tab's gonna be like $25. So I'm cool.
Yeah, fuck you, buddy.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. So, Chris, this has been very fun.
Oh, yeah.
This is the point in the podcast where I like to ask if there are any stories we didn't get to. Are there any gems?
Gosh, I don't know. I think we covered a lot. Nothing is coming to mind. Yeah. I probably will think of one like...
Did you ever drink and comedy? Did you ever make an ass of yourself during comedy while with drinking?
No, I never really did. I've gone on stage like buzzed, drunk, tipsy, like all manner of whatever. And I've done shows where the point is to be drunk or whatever. But I never did because I think, like I said, it's, I'm not an angry drunk. I'm not like a sad, I'm not like really a sad drunk. So there would never be cause for like a meltdown in my time on stage. I'm just like maybe not making sense or like overly happy, or like sometimes when you're drunk, a little drunk on stage, you skip part. You think the audience is like, do you think you can skip over information that you don't have to give them because you're just telling a drunk story? And then they're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But otherwise, no, I never really have.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. Well, then that's great.
Scary. I mean, like, I at Scranton, we just, like, we drank all the time, and we did ice luges, and we had, like, a hurricane party. There was, like, classes got canceled for a hurricane once, so we, like, and the hurricane never came, and, but we didn't have class, so it's like, you know, no class, it's not even snowy, so it was, like, party day. And so everybody had like a hurricane party. There was like a tropical party, an ice luge, which I don't know if you've ever done an ice luge.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's like a big block of ice and you carve like a little valley down it, and you shoot a shot off of it. Which is really, okay. I guess, I don't know if it's healthy or unsanitary or yes. whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Because it's so cold, maybe everything dies. I don't know. but
COVID started in Scranton, is what you're telling
yeah,
me right
probably
now.
In a basement. The last thing I'll say, that party, so everybody thought the hurricane was coming, and then I think I wrapped an American flag around my shoulders and picked up a phone book off the ground for some reason, and I was with my friend Drew, and I just was going down the street saying, "Hurricane Vagina is coming," and I just screamed that for like hours for no reason. I don't know why. I think maybe the name was like whatever the name was like similar enough, and I was just screaming it. And he always brings it up. He always brings that up. And I was like, I don't know why. I don't know why I was doing that.
Almost like you were like a prophet.
Yeah, I was like or like a town crier slash like yeah. doomsayer or something.
Oh, good Lord! Hurricane Vagina
yeah,
is coming.
So dumb. Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, Chris, I love you. That's so fun. It's all like wholesome. You never got into too much trouble. You're just like a little wholesome boy.
Yeah, I never really did get in much trouble, like as a drunk. Aside from punching a window, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. But it's still, even then, you were just like, oh man.
Yeah, I mean, I got caught peeing in public once when I was drunk in Scranton. Yeah.
In Scranton.
Yeah.
Scranton seems like a real
oh my god
a
dude.
Real place for you.
It really yeah it was a lot going on there, and the cops were like,
did
what
you
are
get
you
arrested?
Doing no well I peed on like in this like alley, and I turned around and these cops were there, and I was like, hey, I was like right by a car. I was like, that's my car. So, and they're like, really? I was like, nope. And then they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, my uncle's a cop, does that help with anything? And they're like, just where are you going? I was like, I was going down to the bar. They're like, just find a fucking bathroom next time. And they let me go.
Oh, that's very sweet.
White privilege in action.
Yeah, I know, right? That's my car. Really? No.
Yeah, it's like immediately I was like, I'm lying.
Like, it would make it better if that was your car.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe you can. Illegally, you're allowed to pee on your own car.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's I'm pretty sure it's a federal law. I think Joe Biden just passed it.
Okay, you're being a silly goose. I'm very gullible.
Sorry.
So fuck you. Okay. It's like, is it? Can I pee on my car?
I mean, I guess technically it is, right?
Oh boy.
Though for you,
well, Chris,
for you to pee on your car, I think you'd have to like, you know, like really like goblin over the hood of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a whole thing. Yeah. I would really I've used my car as a prop support to pee.
Sure.
You know, like you do your squats and you pee.
Yeah.
And it was like we were on the side of the road, we were waiting, we had got a flat tire, so we were waiting for
AAA.
Someone to yeah. come. Yeah, AAA to pick us up. And I had to pee so badly. And so I was like, well, I'm just gonna pee on the side of this car now.
Yeah. Good for you.
And that's what I did. I broke in that Honda Civic. We only had it for like a week and we got a flat tire. I was like, fuck this car.
Pissing on it.
Yeah, I'm peeing on it. That's what I did. But Chris, this was so fun.
Oh my God, it was great.
Thank you for doing it. Where can people find you?
I'm on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. At Real Chris Cal, and my website is chriscaligero.com.
Oh, great. And check him out on Twitter. He does a bunch of characters. They're so funny.
Yes. I'm incessant.
Yeah.
Please.
Yes. You're a talented man,
I would say.
So check those out. Thank you so much for doing this. And hopefully we can grab a drink in your neighborhood soon.
Yes.
I
come by.
Your neighborhood.
Yes.
Yes.
Good time, girl. Thank you. Bye.